What's going on, Clipper comrades? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And today we have a very special guest. You know him, you love him, co-host of the Clipset Pod, co-host of Ball is Left Pod. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Brian Cullen.
There's no way I'm going to live up to that.
Well, you're already doing your best.
That's all I have to offer is my best.
Thanks for coming on, Brian.
In case you didn't know, we are Locked On Clippers. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
And have we got some news for you today? We're going to talk Ty Lue. We've been talking Ty Lue for the past week, talking some ups and downs. If you haven't listened to yesterday's episode, it was the first press conference from Mr. Ty Lue. Went pretty well. There were some positives and some things I was a little bit nervous about. So we're going to talk some more about that with Brian, get his input. And then we're going to talk some off-season additions. We've been talking about some prospects that we could maybe pick up with the 57th pick, but if that's not enough ammunition for the Clippers, we're going to take a look at some other things that we could do in the offseason to bolster the roster. And then it's Friday, so we have a classic Love Mary quarantine for you. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So we're talking Ty Lue. Brian, just when the hiring happened, you know, we all texted a little bit about it. How did you feel about it? Were you underwhelmed? Were you whelmed? Where were you at?
I mean, overall, I would say I'm in the cautiously optimistic category on that one. As far as the names that were being thrown out, I think he's probably the best candidate.
For sure.
There's a part of me that would have loved to have seen Sam Cassell get the job, but I'm like, I might be the only like Cassell stan in the world. I love Sam Cassell. And so I'm just rooting for the guy no matter what, but it makes sense with what Ty Lue was able to do in Cleveland. You know, he has the championship pedigree. I'm looking forward to it. I'll say that. I think it was time for a regime change, and in terms of the names that were available, I think outside of Cassell, the only other one that I kind of had circled was Kenny Atkinson. And I've gotten a lot of flack for saying that, but I think Kenny Atkinson is a good coach and I'd like to see him take a job somewhere at least.
Do you think, cause I feel like kind of the hype for Cassell, a lot of Clippers fans were hoping he would get the job. Do we think he stays with the team or what? Like, cause there hasn't been a lot of noise on that front.
So I almost think that there's more coming. I think that it might be a complete overhaul on the coaching staff. You know, Cassell was brought over by Doc. When Doc got to the Clippers, he said he wanted, a handful of Eastern Conference coaches to come join him. And Cassell was brought over, I think, from the Wizards was where he was at the time.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Like, I think Sam and Rex might be on their way out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. It seems like it's going to be a little full with him already bringing on two assistants. We did an interview with the Locked On Cavs guys, and they said they would be very surprised if we didn't add some more former Cavs staff within the year.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing to me is all this initial talk with Ty is, you know, modern offense. There's all this talk about the offense, which is great. Don't get me wrong, that's awesome. But the Clippers had a better offensive rating than a defensive rating last year. And when you look at the players on this team, I think it should have been reverse, like, which is really funny because I think they probably should have had a better defensive rating, which is why I think Rex Kalamian is out. And I'm curious to see who they get to come in because everything's kind of been a focus on the offense, like even down to the Chauncey Billups hiring, you know what I mean? Like he's going to obviously be an X's and O's guy on the offensive side. I want to know who's really going to dig their heels in and set up a solid defensive system for this roster.
I don't know much about Larry Drew. I should read into it more. Is he considered more of a defensive guy? Like, cause I've kind of, we can talk about kind of the worries now. Lue plays an aggressive offense when the goal or defense, excuse me, which I'm kind of excited for, but there's going to be some speed bumps.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of Larry Drew, I think Ty Lue is the only person that knows anything about Larry. I've yet to talk to anybody that has any real information on him.
Yeah. Well, so The only thing I've really heard Ty Lue directly say about the defense is when he was asked yesterday, like, what they needed to get more of out of Paul George and Kawhi. He said that it needed to start on the defensive end. And that's like the only thing that we've heard. I will say, to his credit, though, I mean, they defended the number one offense in the league in that 2016 championship better than anybody else did it. And I do think that he had, like, there was a lot of frustration with him through the regular season on the defensive end. I'm hoping that, you know, given the personnel that he has, I do think that this is, like, you know, top to bottom, the most complete roster he's had, that he's going to be able to make those adjustments and hopefully, yeah, hopefully get us into the top three defensively. I mean, we were just barely top five.
Yeah. If we're talking about worries, you kind of touched on it there a little bit, Will, but like for me, what makes me, you know, cautiously optimistic is, you know, I want to believe that Ty Lue is that modern coach that makes those adjustments and puts the systems in place. But another part of me, like, legitimately questions, and maybe I'm being unfair in questioning this, but it's how much of that was the fact that it was LeBron James and the dude is the greatest basketball player of all time.
I can kind of see where you're coming from, but it, you know, it's not like we don't have Kawhi, right? Like defensively, that I'm not, you know, it's pretty damn close. And when you pair it with Paul George and, you know, Marcus Morris was looking really great in the bubble specifically, I definitely think it's doable. The thing that gets me is like, so remember, you know, we lost that back-to-back, the Grizzlies Knicks back-to-back, where all the, you know, the locker room stuff kind of started. That was a frustrating loss, right? So if we're seeing a couple more frustrating losses because of like defensive things that guys aren't seeing, there's kind of that deja vu feeling a little bit.
Right.
I'm worried too about, like, I think that the wheels could fall off this thing pretty quick if we hit a skid early. I think if, you know, we're not winning games, you know, we start out and we're like 500 through the first, you know, 20 so games. I mean, like, I really think that this could blow up pretty fabulously. I just don't think that, like, for a locker room that already has problems, right? Like, that's pretty much undeniable at this point. You can call it just the on-court stuff. You can call it whatever you want, but the team hasn't really worked together. I think if you're not winning, I just think that every little problem is going to be magnified. And I hope, you know, like, I hope that that's not the case. And I hope that Ty will have enough control over that locker room. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
What are we excited for? So now we've kind of talked about, what are we most excited for? Cause I actually think I'm most excited to see what the locker room looks like. Cause I think Ty can get that. I think Ty can shore that up.
Right. And I think Will kind of touched on it right there is his ability to get buy-in. And, you know, I think one of the biggest examples of that was Kevin Love and getting him to buy into a completely different role. He came from a system where he was the guy and showed up, you know, it was kind of an awkward fit at first. If we remember, you know, how Cleveland started, and Ty Lue really got him to buy into this, like, you're almost going to be a role player with this franchise. And these are the things that we need you to do. And it took a bit of time to adjust to it, but, you know, Kevin Love fully bought into it and it got him a championship.
Definitely.
That's a super good call.
And I hope that he's like a little bit more forthright with those things. I think that he will be. There was a lot of frustration, and not just from this Clippers team, but former Clippers too, that there's a lack of clarity around like what the bigger picture is for players as far as like buying into their roles. And I think sometimes that's fine and it can work. Like I think they made it work with Lue Will for the last couple regular seasons, but it doesn't work for everybody. And I don't think that it works when you're a new team going into a playoff situation that's in like, you know, a pressure cooker of a situation to begin with.
Yeah. I think the other thing that excites me about Lue is, and this is something that I feel like has been brought up since the interview, is he had that moment with the Cavs where he, yelled at LeBron on the bench. I guess even off the bench, he told them like, you need to get your ass in shape. And basically
pushing LeBron in the lockers in the stadium.
Yeah. But like he'll talk, he's willing to speak up to the stars. And, you know, I'll be honest, I put a minimal amount of stock into some of the reports that are coming out about the locker room issues in terms of like how guys are upset about, you know, special treatment. I don't think anybody's new to this league. Nobody's new to how stars are treated. But, you know, I think that one thing I will say is I think there's a lack of like who really the leader is of that kind
100%.
Of 100%. And I think that he is the guy that can push someone in that locker room to go be the leader. You know, he could get in Kawhi, you know, Kawhi's face and be like, you need to speak up. Like, if this is going to be your team, you're going to be the guy, you need to have some more to say out here.
Yeah. Hopefully the leadership thing we've talked about, I feel like almost all week is hoping there's like a clear leader for this team, and Lou might end up being the clear leader, but we do need that player to step up, and that player hopefully is Kawhi. Let us know what you are excited for at Locked On Clips, also at Brian S. Cullen, I believe, and the Clipset Pod. Coming up, we're going to be talking some off-season additions if that meaty 57th pick doesn't totally work out. But first, we got to give a shout-out to Built Go. You guys both lack energy pretty much throughout the day, right?
Very lethargic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, sloth-like over here at the Locked On Studios. Built Go is great. Gives you the boost you need, makes you the best you at whatever you do. You can break through that 2 p.m. wall, whether it's mental or physical. Easy to take 1.5-ounce packages. It's fantastic. Put them in your briefcase, as we all carry a briefcase, your golf bag to help you get through the back nine if you don't want to keep drinking. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. That natty Built Go. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. There are 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system quickly. Plus, it's very easy on your stomach if you have an upset tummy. Visit builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, one word, and you'll get 30% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
Quick question about that, actually. It says it's like drinking Monster Energy with a third of the caffeine. Does that mean I'm only going to break like a third of the drywall in my house?
I mean, you might have to muscle up to get that drywall, but you will get it broken.
All right, so we're back and we're talking off-season additions. I don't know. This has been I feel like this is a conversation that has been spiraling out of control in the Clipper sphere the last couple of weeks. I guess I'll just kick it off to Brian. Is there an addition out there that would perhaps move you from cautiously optimistic to tentatively aroused?
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, let's go get him, right?
Yeah, okay.
Very realistic.
I mean, there are you know, kind of periphery names. The one name that has come up in more than just one kind of trade rumor.
If you say Derrick Rose, I'm going to be very upset with you.
No, not even. is Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Who, you know, as someone who's a Nets fan, you just, you know, you heard me at the top there talk about Kenny Atkinson.
Your boy.
I like Dinwiddie. I think he's good. I think he can answer, you know, some of the issues on the roster. I really, you know, I personally don't think there's a major move coming. I think it happened already with Doc. I think that was kind of the biggest move that we might see. But I also think that the team might look to move on from Patrick Beverley. You know, they obviously want a bit more of a playmaker. I think that that's kind of been made clear. And his injury history is a bit concerning moving forward.
Yeah. Dinwiddie's kind of in that same boat though too, right? Like he's got a couple knocks. What gets me is like Ballmer said from that presser, there's a lot of work to do in terms of roster development in the next few months. Which, like, you know, depending what day you wake up, you think that means a giant, you know, I think that means a huge trade. I think that means just getting Trez to maybe pass out of some certain situations. Do we think the trade happens if there is a trade of any kind? It's probably got to happen before the season starts, right? There's no way we're going to do another large trade halfway through the season.
Yeah, there's a staunch deadline for that season starting too. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I would think so, especially given the continuity issues in the last season, that they wouldn't want to shake things up too much. halfway through, you know, a second run with this core. Just to the point of the roster development, part of me thinks that that's Ballmer not necessarily knowing, you know, all the proper basketball terms, because when it came down to the bullet points on what they were looking for in the hiring of a head coach, they talked about development of young players. And part of me thinks that that's kind of what he's referring to, mm-hmm. is there is talented young players on this team. The one that I keep kind of coming back to is Capengelly. You know, I think that he has a skill set for his size that could be useful. I don't know if he's NBA ready yet. He did really well in the G League, but I think that there was like zero effort, you know, from Doc on developing Capengelly into something that could be a rotation player somewhere down the line.
Yeah, because it was just like a running joke when Fee would get actual time with the Clippers that he would just shoot a bunch. And you're like, dude, he gets shots up all the time. Let's maybe have some, you know, defense. Or like he's right. He doesn't even look confident in his size. He's huge, but he doesn't play like it yet.
Yeah, I also look at a guy like Shamet, who like his role, I mean, part of it was due to injury, but like his role got bounced around. And I mean, he didn't take a step back in any like in actual statistics, but like his game isn't where I thought it would be 1 year later from a prospect who was already, you know, at what he was going to be asked to do fairly complete.
Well, I think part of Shamet is that there was no system put in place. And so, you know, a guy with that talent needs action being run for him. And there was zero being drawn up for him. We saw it a couple times during the season. I'd start to get excited and be like, oh, they're running sets for this dude. And then he would get a DNP or play, you know, four and a half minutes. And it would just completely go out the window.
And, yeah. We brought in Reggie at the trade deadline and it was, you know, it was over.
And we had sets for him the year with Shea, you know, like Doc would talk about running old JJ sets and everyone was just so hyped up. And yeah. And then it just got thrown out the window. Where are you at on the actual clamoring from Clippers fans for a CP3 trade?
No, that contract is insane. To make like not even basketball stuff, just looking at the contract, you would have to do so much to make that money work. Yeah. And, you know, despite the meltdown that happened in the playoffs, I still think the depth on this roster is extremely valuable. And you would have to ditch a lot of that to get Chris Paul. And, you know, part of me loves Chris Paul as, you know, his time with the Clippers. Part of me loves him just because I think he's one of the best point guards of all time. But Chris Paul, you know, obviously has a major injury history. He's not any younger. I'm good on
that. Hard no on that. Yeah.
I don't see it. The contracts are, even if somehow feasible, I, you know, at the cost, why? He had a great postseason this year. But he only had to worry about staying healthy for one round. So,
and the contract truly just hamstrings you for a couple more years. Cause then it's like, okay, so Kawhi needs a new contract. Oh, we have this other 40 M's on the book right now. I think it like ends at 44 that last year, the contract. So it would just be, I mean, it'd be a throw up, you know, everything in the kitchen sink move, I guess, but he'd be playing so many minutes because we don't have a capable backup point guard.
Right. Was that a hamstring joke directed at Chris Paul there?
No, that was no pun intended. I mean, that was, Will, let's get into your PG thoughts, because you had some interesting, we were hanging out earlier and Will was on a soapbox about various issues with Paul George.
So where do we want to start? Well, should we start with the trade idea or should we start with my issues with Paul George?
Let's do the trade idea.
Okay. So I'm going to throw this out there. Ran this through a couple trade machines. Both teams have trade exemptions that would make the difference of about $5 million in salary even out. But it's like net neutral in wins for both teams. I really do think that this could be an okay move for both teams. I don't know that it could ever happen. But Ben Simmons for Paul George, straight up.
I mean, straight up, it's interesting. It makes the lineup. I mean, we're running five out. We have to start like
four because Ben's on the floor.
Well, so he's the center, right? So it's like a weird five out. So
yes.
I don't know, man. I like that the win projections stay the same, I guess. But Brian, are you in on this?
No, I'm pretty far out on this one, if I'm being honest. I love Ben Simmons. I actually think that if Philly is looking to change things up, me personally, I would build around Ben Simmons. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like Kawhi was almost forced to shoot too much outside already, and bringing Ben Simmons in would force him into doing that a little bit more, where I think that he's more effective, you know, in the mid range, getting to the rim. And that's been the issue for Ben Simmons in Philly, is having another star that kind of hangs out in the same areas. And so I think in theory, sure, you know, he's a great defensive guard. But I don't know. I'm sorry, buddy. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but I'm out on that one.
Opening night lineup of Ben Simmons, Sham, Kawhi, Mook, and Jermichael. You know, that seems like it might be some fun basketball.
And another point, dude, the other thing with that is, like, there would be even less of a, like, leader in that locker room. He clearly doesn't want to be the leader in Philly. And that's been all reports coming out of Philly, is that he feels uncomfortable being that guy. And it would, yeah, I feel like the chemistry stuff would get even more insane with Ben Simmons in there.
But to Will's other point, which he's about to bring up, PG defers a bunch too.
Yeah, PG definitely doesn't want to be the leader. I don't know. I like Ben because, I mean, he's like a perennial DPOY candidate. The assists are there. He averages more assists than anyone who is, like, realistically linked to the Clippers. The shooting is an issue. And as a player, he's just a quandary that, like, I don't really know that that's the best idea to try to figure out. If you want to be the team that's going to try to solve that Rubik's Cube. But the thing I love about it also is, if we end up just having another collapse, we could still look forward to some pretty fun basketball with Ben Simmons after Kawhi opts out and moves on.
Bails on us and the whole experiment failed. We're going to save your hot PG take for next segment. Coming up, Will Updike sounds off on Paul George.
Okay. All right, so we're back. And look, I don't know. This has been an ongoing thing for me. PG is a complete cornball in the media. I hate how he's always like, I hate how he defers everything. I hate how he never takes responsibility for anything. And he just flip-flops on stuff. You know, being in the driver's seat to this was never championship or bust. All the stuff. Like, I understand that you went through a hard time in the bubble, and I'm with that. But, like, what happened between him and Dame and that whole thing? I defended Paul George on the internet. I will never do that again. I guess the question I need to pose to everyone is Paul George too much of a loser?
In the high school
sense? He has a loser mentality. He is a loser.
PG should never be allowed to speak to the media or publicly ever again.
His story changes so much on, like, yeah, him stuff in Indiana, like the Clippers stuff. He invites a lot of stuff on himself sometimes.
And he's not even – the thing that killed me was today when the 2K ratings came out. Oh, and man. He's not – we haven't seen him talk about a revenge tour for a championship, but he's on a revenge tour to be rated 95 overall on NBA 2K. Dude, you are a loser. That's a loser thing to care about.
It's odd. Like, wasn't Trae Young, like, super upset about it today too? It's a very odd – like, point of contention for professional basketball players.
Yeah, he was like an 80. I think they were both 88s, and they were like, God damn it. Like,
I have, he's supposed to be above this. We traded an entire future for him. He's
we have breaking
supposed to
news?
Be above this.
Yeah, so Mark Stein just announced, and this is awesome because I get to take a victory lap on your show here. He tweeted, former Nets coach Kenny Atkinson emerged as a strong contender to join the new head coach Ty Lue's staff with the Clippers.
There we go. Your boy.
Hey, Kenny.
Win one for Brian. That's awesome. Kenny At. Shaq also.
Yeah, he was great with that young rebuilding Nets team that they just decided to shit on and throw out the door.
Yeah, that'll be sweet. That's a good addition. Yeah, Shaq thinks that PG should be traded for two role players to win a championship. I'm not sure I agree with that. But I think we got to do one more year with PG. We gave up the whole farm. And
no, I agree. I agree. And it's like fun to it's fun to entertain these ideas, but I do in my, like, heart of hearts know that there is a good player there. and I hope that he can get back to that.
Yeah.
And I think that he should throw away his cell phone. I think that he should stay off the internet. He should move in a, he should live in a log cabin or something.
Yeah.
Move up to Crestline.
I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, it's fun to entertain some of these trade ideas. I do think that people are getting a bit ahead of themselves. Part of it is that it's the Clippers and they gave
We've been accustomed to it. Like every year there's been two giant trades for the past like 3 years.
It's that and the fact that they gave us, you know, maybe the greatest brand recognition anybody's given us in 2020. But you know, when you go back and look at it, especially if you want to look at the very end of it, remove game seven, Paul George was arguably the best player on the Clippers against Denver. He had a really good series outside of that last game. You know, getting to game seven is not Paul George's fault at all. We kind of remedied the big issue of last season in getting rid of Doc. Mm-hmm. You know, his lack of adjustments, his whole mentality that everybody has to kind of make adjustments to his system.
Yeah.
And you know, like they're going to have to figure me out, which like everybody did instantly. and the lack of system that was put in place. I think the last piece that needs to drop, and you know, this might be a controversial thing to say. I know it's very split amongst Clippers fans, but you know, I think it's Trez has to go. I think his role is way too big. He let his role get way too big. You know, you mentioned it there, Chuck, with, you know, not passing out of the short role. And I think if you do that, you maybe add like an MLE. I know the DJ Augustine has been talked about for the Clippers. There are decent vet players that you could add to this team, and it's still a really good roster. They didn't have a lot of continuity last year, which you're hoping to get this year, and they didn't have systems put in place, and we have a coach that's willing to put systems in place. I think those two things change, and you're looking at the Clippers that we thought they were going to be contending for a championship.
Yeah, that's a really good call. I'm hoping
a little bit of health, just a little bit of
just a smidge
health and continuity. Yeah, I agree. I've posed this question to Chuck: Could Trez make sense if he's willing to buy into a different role? Like, if you look at him, like say 15 to 16, Tristan Thompson, really actually pretty similar numbers, similar physical stats.
I think it could work. I think Ty Lue would just use him less. That's the issue, right? You just use Trez less.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Tristan Thompson, that's somebody that could be added this offseason to the Clippers.
I don't want Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I kind of don't either. I'm really in on Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, definitely in on Nerlens Noel. He needs the money. all right, so it's Friday, so we're going to play Love, Marry, Quarantine. We're talking about Trez. Don't know if you've watched his offseason runs, but he is still just wearing a beanie in every single one of them. So this got me thinking, what other not allowed on a professional basketball court things could players wear during the offseason training? First option, Landry Shamet working on catch and shoot threes with a bucket on his head, a la the musician Buckethead. We have Zubats improving on his physicality in the post while wearing a ton of gold chains, a la every professional baseball player now. And then we have Pat Bev. This is a flip. Instead of the classic Tim's in the sand training, he goes the whole other way, high heels in the sand training. A la, I don't think anybody's ever done that. It seems really dangerous, but maybe as dangerous as the Tim's. Which one of these are you loving, marrying, and quarantining, Brian?
So, quick question about the cue on this one, the quarantine. Yeah. Am I quarantining with this?
You're keeping it away.
It's out of here. You got to quarantine it.
All right. So, it's Love, Marry, Quill.
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna love Zubats wearing a ton of gold chains. Just because I love Zubats, and who doesn't love, and we're talking about like fat, like Cubans on them, right?
Things that will weigh, he's working on physicality, you know. We're not talking one little white drug dealer in a trailer park chain.
Perfect. I'm gonna quarantine Patrick Beverley working out in the sand, because I've spent time around Patrick Beverley. I love watching him play when there's a distance between me and him, but it's a big personality to deal with up close. So I'm gonna go ahead and put him in the quarantine with the high heels.
Man, love that you're not concerned about the safety at all of the high heels and the ankle.
Yeah, I'm not too worried.
He's got good balance.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah, I feel like he's got a pretty dialed in strut with a nice.
Yeah.
And that means I'm marrying Landry Shamet only because this is my favorite part. The Buckethead thing. Bucket on the head, great. But Buckethead the musician, he also wears like a plastic mask over his face.
Yes.
Mimics the amount of personality that Landry Shamet wears on his face at all times. Very true. It would almost be no difference in terms of just like pure expression.
Ty Lue walks by, he's like, oh, hey, what's up? What's up, Landry? Just no change in how he reacts to him with a bucket and a mask on his face.
And then you press the button on his like automatic tying shoes.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot that he has them. Will, what are you going with for Love, Marry, Quarantine in these?
I'm loving Landry with the bucket on his head.
All instinct at that point, you know?
Yeah, I think it's great. It'd be good for him. It does truly change nothing about his personality. I wonder what he would go for as Halloween.
Oh,
he would just get a generic basketball player uniform from like
he'd be like Jim on The Office when he like puts the three hole punch or whatever. He's like, oh, I'm three hole punch, and everyone's like, you suck, dude. You suck the work. Yeah, like you suck, dude.
I'm gonna marry the Zubats with chains, but I don't want him to spend his money on gold chains. I think that we got him at too good of a deal.
These are team issues. This is Ballmer sending the trainer and the chains over to
Oh, okay. All right. Then in that case, I'm all in. I hope that he has like a 1-to-1 size tank, no limit chain. Like it's the actual size of a chain with the no limit.
Yeah.
That's the no limit logo. I'm pretty sure he's a big no limit fan. I haven't asked him personally, but I get the vibe.
I think wearing chains might be the new pulling large cars. Remember that was a fad for training a while where guys would be like, he's pulling a Jeep up the hill. Now it's just putting as many heavy chains on as you possibly can.
Lifting tires, I think, is a good one. Just like a tractor tire. And I also got a quarantine Pat Bev in the high heels. So I've heard that you can do like long-term damage to like the tendons around your ankle and calf from wearing heels. It's actually like a common thing. There used to be a super misogynistic term for it that had to do with secretaries. I gotta quarantine it. I don't think it's good for him, even though I think he would look great. It's, you know,
calves just pop.
Kyle Lowry, however, if we're talking Lowry, I say get the guy in some heels.
That's a great call.
Have some flats, huh?
Yeah, I think I gotta go a poly relationship in terms of marrying both the bucket head and chain idea. I think having that happen on the same practice court would be a really good time for everybody involved. Zoo would have to get some chains from Trez, who definitely is probably going to start playing in chains. And then, yeah, I think I got to quarantine the Pat Bev high heels one. Part of me likes that idea because he's meeting up with the trainer. Trainer's like, hey, we got something new today. And Patrick Ray was like, oh, what's that? And then the trainer does the classic, like, hold up a pair of fancy high heels. And Bev is just like, what the hell are we doing here, man? That about wraps it up. Brian, what other fantastic endeavors can these people listen to you on?
I co-host a Clipper show called the Clipset Podcast. It's me and Joseph Rye Ward. We just did an episode talking about the Ty Lue hire right after that was officially announced. I also co-host a show called Ball Is Left with my good buddy SLC. And in that show, we kind of dive into the way that we navigate the inherently unethical world of sports and how we can possibly reimagine the sports world in a more ethical sense. And we get into politics and, it's kind of the antithesis of shut up and dribble culture. And then you can just follow me on Twitter at Brian S. Cullen.
Hell yeah. We have one more breaking news thing real quick. Okay. Heat assistant coach Dan Craig is another top target for Lou, which is fantastic because Dan Craig was someone who is such a good coach and be such a good fit. So shout out Kenny Atkinson and Dan Craig, the assistant coach lineup is looking pretty damn good right now if these things go well for the Clippers.
That's big. I actually, sorry, can I plug one more thing?
No.
This weekend, we just had Styx, aka Watt Styx. He's an LA legend rapper. He did the hype song for the Clippers. He's done it for LAFC, the Dodgers, the Rams. He's, you know, he's worked with all the LA teams. But he's putting on an event this weekend. It's a free health fair. Saturday and Sunday, it's two different locations. It's completely free. You register at thinkwattshealthfair.com. And there's free STD screenings, free dental screenings, free vegan food, free food education, free workouts, all kinds of stuff. He's trying to, you know, bring kind of health and knowledge into communities that have been deprived of it. There's no insurance necessary. So the health screenings that are available, the dental stuff, the STD checking, all of that, it's that you don't need insurance to do it. So I just encourage everybody, if you can go, it won't cost you a dime. You don't need insurance. It's an amazing event that's going on. Thinkwattshealthfair.com.
Hell yeah. That sounds fantastic. Everyone, if you need to go, please go. That is so great that Styx is doing that. Monday's episode, we're going to be, Carl Tart's actually joining to talk Ty Lue and maybe the new assistant coaches. Maybe some draft talk on the freshies. There's a whole mess of people you could pick at 57. We might get drafted at 57. And then of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fine people tell their friends they should listen to us?
You can listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe, leave a rating or review. If you like what we're doing, it really helps us out. And yeah, thanks for rocking with us. We're still coming at you 5 days a week. Getting pretty excited to see what else shakes out in this off season.
100%. Again, thank you to our guest, Brian Cullen. Everyone go check out the health fair and Brian's fantastic podcast. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.